that's why we're going to make it. Her grip tightens on her drink until her knuckles turn white. Are you sure? Because I'm not sure I can handle you getting my hopes up now, only to decide at the end of the trip that you're done. I need to know either way. She needs to know whether to start building up her walls again. I'm sure. No more walls, Kat. I let you have them after Benji's funeral because I thought you needed them to keep it together, but you can't bury yourself in work to escape from feeling everything. You have to talk to me. You have to let it out. She nods slowly. I know. I'm bad at this. I wrap an arm around her hips and pull her closer to me. You can't be bad at something you've never tried. The woman I know and love kicks the ass of every problem put in front of her. Where did she go? She got scared after losing too many people who mattered, and it almost cost her the best man she's ever known. Kat drops her head on my shoulder. I'm so sorry. The wind whips around us, and I lower my lips to speak into her ear. We're going to fix this. I hold up my glass and clink it against the rim of hers. That's a promise. Before she can take another sip, I lean in and press a kiss to her lips. Sorry, I hope we're not interrupting. Vander's voice doesn't sound the least bit apologetic as he and Anya make themselves comfortable on the trampoline only a few feet away, drinks in hand. Kat stiffens. Captain Tisdale asked if we wanted to stop and snorkel more. I took the liberty of answering for everyone when I said no fucking way, Anya says in the most serious tone I've heard her use. I seconded it. But if you want to go, definitely let him know, Vander adds. I think I've had my fill of water activities for the day, Kat replies. Fine with me. So I guess that means we're ready to get drunk. I have the perfect idea, Anya says, excitement in her tone. It takes everything in me not to groan and drag Kat off the bow. Absolutely perfect. We need Fedor to bring us bottles, and we're going to play a game. A game? Kat asks, her tone wary. Anya nods. We're going to play Never Have I Ever. It's so much fun, and this is the perfect venue since we've got a few more hours of sailing. The suggestion of a game I remember playing my freshman year of college makes me wonder exactly how old Anya is. I don't know, Kat says. Come on, Kat, don't be a wet rag. Have some fun. I'm about to intervene at the younger woman's taunts, but Kat sits up, her shoulders going straight. Fine, let's play. It's the challenge she couldn't resist, and I have a feeling this means I'll be carrying Kat back to our room. Excellent. Fedor, would you bring us a bottle of rum and a bottle of vodka and some shot glasses? The deckhand looks surprised by the request, but at Anya's smile, he snaps to attention and brings everything out within moments. The poor kid can barely look her in the eyes because he spent so much time staring at her tits and ass. Kat's posture is stiff and her game face is plastered on, so I'm the only one who can tell she doesn't want to play any more than she wants to jump back in an ocean filled with sharks. I'm debating putting an end to this when Anya passes out the plastic shot glasses and has everyone pick their poison. Kat and I pick rum and the other couple chooses the vodka. With each of us holding a shot glass of our chosen booze, Anya explains the rules of the game. I'm going to start, and I'll say something I've never done. If you've done it, you drink. Then the next person goes after we refill. Questions? She waits approximately 2 seconds before launching into the first Never Have I Ever. Never have I ever eaten a woman's asshole. Fuck. She could have at least started easy. Kat stiffens, her swift inhalation audible. Good lord, Anya. Had to go for the jugular right away. Vander tosses back his shot. Not fair. She winks at him. Just making sure everyone knows what a dirty boy you are. He rolls his eyes as he pours another shot. Screw it. I toss back mine, too, and Anya squeals in excitement. Another dirty boy! Why does that make me like you a whole lot more all of a sudden? Kat's face is completely red, probably because it was her ass that was the subject of my answer. Vander goes next. I've never sucked a dick. Anya shoots him a look. You're lucky I have. She tosses back her shot, and so does Kat. After they refill, it's Kat's turn, and she goes a different route. I've never shot a gun. Vander, Anya, and I drink, and then it's my turn. I've never owned a Rolex. Anya and Vander drink, and it goes back to Anya. I've never fucked two women at the same time. Vander drinks and takes his turn. I've never fucked two men at the same time. Anya drinks. Kat's turn, and surprisingly she goes with, I've never had a threesome of any kind. Anya, Vander, and I drink, and Kat's eyes go wide with a question I'm sure I'll end up answering later. It's my turn, and I decide to say, fuck it. I've had my suspicions about these two, and now's the chance for me to confirm it. I've never been a swinger. Both Anya and Vander drink, answering in the affirmative. That explains a lot. Anya goes next. I've never worn a dog collar. Never mind, yes, I have, shit. I can't think of anything else I've never done. This is sort of awkward. She looks to Vander as if for help. You've never pierced your nipples? He offers. Her face turning a deeper shade of red, Kat downs her shot. I look at her. You had your nipples pierced? Ooh, see, this is when it gets fun. New dirt. What else did you pierce, you dirty girl? I plead the fifth, Kat says, her voice tight with embarrassment. That means there was something else. Now it's your turn. Is there anything you want to know about your man? Kat glances at me before she speaks. I've never cheated. Oh, shit. It's getting serious now, Anya says, and then tosses back a shot, as does Vander. I don't even move my hand, and I never let my gaze leave Kat's. I already know the reason for her question was twofold. She wanted to make damn sure I knew she hadn't cheated, and she was looking for one more confirmation that I didn't cross the line. I have to admit that stings a little. Silence hangs between us. On that note, hold please. Anya hops up. I'm going to see if they have any snacks. I need some food if we're going to keep downing shots at this rate. She heads for the walkway, and Kat recovers from our shared moment of brutal honesty, courtesy of a drinking game. You never did say where you two were from. Kat directs the question at Vander to break the silence. He refills his shot glass and tosses it back before responding. South Africa, Dubai, Britain, and a few other places in the meantime. That explains the accent, then. I thought British, but I wasn't sure. I do have a passport proclaiming me a proper Brit, so that's fair. And what do you do? Kat asks. Curious little cat, aren't you? He says, and I don't like the way his words come out. Kat backtracks. I'm sorry if I'm being nosy. You don't have to tell me anything. Just making conversation. Not at all. Anya spends most of her working time modeling and assisting a few designers here and there. I do a little of everything. My business interests are wide and varied. What about you two? His answer is vague and sparks my interest enough that if I had my laptop, I'd run a background check to figure out what the fuck he's into. I'm a business consultant, Kat says. I focus largely on strategy, creating plans, assembling implementation teams, and streamlining processes. One of Vander's eyebrows goes up. Quite impressive. What consulting firm do you work for? My own. I worked for one of the big ones after I got my MBA, but went out on my own 2.5 years ago. Indeed. Very impressive. Vander's attention shifts to me, and it's my turn to give the bullshit answer about what I do. Import broker. Boring stuff. Vander's gaze narrows. I know about working and boring stuff. He's full of shit just like I am, but as long as it doesn't impact Kat and me, I don't give a fuck what he does. They're bringing us snacks, Anya announces, striding alongside the edge of the boat. She throws her hands emphatically into the air just as she trips over the hatch and tumbles over the railing.
Chapter 20. Kat. Anya screams, her drink splashing everywhere as she tries to recover her balance but falls overboard. My heart lodges into my throat as I jump up. Holy shit was followed by the uncharitable thought, at least it wasn't me. I can't help but wonder if this is what all those other people on our Coco Loco booze cruise felt when they saw me go overboard. Fuck. Vander stands and crosses to the side, but instead of diving in after her, he yells, Fedor, get her. Fedor is in the middle of doing something with a sail, but Dane is quicker. He rushes to the side and in one swift movement dives into the water toward where Anya is splashing around. With an eye on the boom so I don't get whacked in the head and join them in the water, I move to the back of the boat as well. Fedor tosses me a life ring. Throw this out there while I pull down the sail so we can turn on the motor. He reaches for the ropes, leaving me with the orange flotation device. Vander rips it from my hand before I can toss it, whipping it out like a frisbee toward Dane and Anya. He's short about 50 feet.
Fuck. Of course she'd get blitzed and fall overboard. Just like Anya.
I shoot him a look. Hey, it can happen to anyone. I've done it. Dane's strokes cut through the water effortlessly, and he's within 20 feet of her in moments. Do you see any sharks? I'm scanning the surface, trying to see any fins between the small whitecaps that have cropped up since we started sailing.
No. You?
No. Well, at least that's one worry we don't have at the moment. Dane reaches Anya, and she throws herself at him, clinging to his shoulders, and a whole new set of fears crops up in my brain. She could drown them both. She needs to calm down.
I don't know if she can actually swim,
Vander says, his voice contemplative. Are you shitting me? I spin around to stare at him. And you didn't go in after her immediately? What a sorry excuse for a man. Maybe I've had Dane in my life long enough to take it for granted that he'll always rescue me if he's there. He's not just strong and capable. He doesn't stop to consider his own safety before springing into action.
I was getting there. Your husband apparently has a much larger hero complex than I do, however.
It's a cop-out answer, and we both know it. I turn my attention back to Dane and Anya. He has her secured, and is swimming them both backward toward the catamaran, which thankfully has stopped since Fedora lowered the mainsail. Dane reaches the life ring and shoves it in front of Anya. She latches on, and Vander picks up the end of the rope and begins pulling them in. Dane holds on to Anya, kicking them forward to propel them toward us faster. Once they reach the side, Fedora drops the ladder. Anya climbs up first, her face pale, eye makeup smeared down her cheeks.
Are you okay?
Vander asks her. She nods. I'm not usually so clumsy. The words come out hushed. A tear wells in her eye. But my swimsuit is ruined. Of all the ridiculous things to be worried about right now. I hold back my comments as Dane climbs aboard.
Babe, are you all right?
He nods and shakes the water from his hair as I hand him a towel. Fine. Just a little extra swimming to replace the cardio I missed out on today. Of course he would make light of the fact that he just dived off a boat to save a woman who may or may not be able to swim. Anya turns toward him and lifts her chin. I think the shots caught up with me a little too fast. Thank you for coming in after me. She shoots a sideways look at Vander.
No problem. Dane says, tossing the towel down on the bench. I think we should shelve that game, regardless of how much fun we were having,
Vander replies. He turns to Dane.
We owe you a debt of gratitude. Since we can't buy you dinner or drinks, given the resort is an all-inclusive, I'll need to figure out something else we can do. Don't worry about it. Anyone would have done the same.
I don't point out the obvious, that Vander didn't do the same.
Would you still like snacks, Miss Anya? We have fruit and plantain chips and a few other items ready for you.
Yummy. Sounds delicious, she says. Apparently Anya's appetite recovers faster than anything. Probably a good idea to soak up the alcohol. 2 hours later, we gather up our items and disembark from the catamaran. Vander and Anya walk ahead of us until Vander pauses at the end of the pier and turns to Dane. In a conversational tone, he says,
I think I know how we can repay you. Why doesn't Anya come to your room tonight and suck you off?
Chapter 21 Cat. I choke on saliva, coughing hard. What the hell did he just say? He didn't say what I think he said, did he? I look at Dane, and his expression is dark. Yep, he totally said what I think he did. Dane forces a laugh.
Thanks for the offer, but I'll pass.
Vander looks at us both.
Come on. You already asked the question. You know you're interested.
What question? Then I remember the never-have-I-ever question Dane threw out there about swingers. He knew. He figured out what they were, and that was his way of confirming it.
Didn't mean anything by it. Just confirming my suspicion.
Vander eyes him.
Well, you were right. So what do you say we make this vacation a whole lot more interesting for all of us? I don't think that's a good idea,
Dane replies, and Vander looks at me.
You can't tell me you're not intrigued, Cat. How long has it been since you've done something truly exhilarating? He steps toward me, and I retreat into Dane's arms. Vander stops immediately as Dane's hand curls into my hair and grips my neck.
Thanks, man, but we're not interested. You're missing out. Anya doesn't just have dick-sucking lips. She's got the skills to go with them. But that's fine. I'll just let her put them to work on me.
Through all of this, Anya has said nothing. Her boyfriend offers her up to give another man a blowjob, and she doesn't object in the slightest.
I think we should get back to our room, I murmur to Dane. He nods at Vander.
Have a good one.
I smile weakly at Anya, whose expression takes on a disappointed cast. Seriously? Disappointed? Then again, maybe she wanted her shot with Dane, and now she's upset she won't get it. Too damn bad. I don't share. Dane takes my hand as we walk down the dock, and I'm thankful to be away from Vander and Anya. When we're out of earshot, I ask, "Did that really just happen?"
"Sure did, but I'm good not talking about it."
I jerk my gaze up to his face. "You don't want to talk about the fact that we were just propositioned by swingers? Seriously? Because I don't know about you, but this is a first for me." One of Dane's answers while we were playing Never Have I Ever comes back to me. He's had a threesome. What if it was with swingers?
"Oh my God, this has happened to you before. Is that what you did?"
I hold up a hand.
"Wait, never mind. I don't know if I want to know that."
"I've been asked before. Usually by the wife. But no, I've never done it."
We're nearing the pier that leads to our overwater bungalow, and I stop, causing him to bump into me before I turn around to face him.
"But you've had a threesome. Or maybe more than one."
"It's ancient history, Kat. Seriously, I'm not talking about it."
"Is it something you used to do often? Is that something you miss?"
Where are all these questions coming from? Why do I care? It's not like I've ever given Dane a rundown on my sexual experiences before him. We've left that topic undiscussed, and up until now, I assumed that was for the best. But what if he's not satisfied? I mean, hell, it's been how long since we've had sex? And my husband used to be a badass in the bedroom who had threesomes. A cloud of insecurity hovers around me as I stare at his face, looking for answers to all the questions I'm afraid to ask.
"Are you fucking kidding me?" "No, Kat. I don't miss anything except for having you whenever and wherever I want. That's what I miss. I miss my goddamn wife and how easy it used to be between us. I want that back. I don't fucking care about threesomes or swingers or any other women but you."
His response comforts me and levels me at the same time. He misses me. He misses us. Because I shut down and pushed him away. "I miss us too."
"Then we're going to fix this shit right now," Dane growls, lowering his shoulder.
"What are you—"
My question is cut off as he plants that shoulder into my belly and hoists me over it. Within 3 steps, Dane reaches our door, shoves the key into the lock, and flings it wide open with such force that it slams behind us.
"I need my wife, naked, under me, squeezing my cock hard as I make her come. It's been way too fucking long, and we're never waiting this long again, Kat. You understand me?"
He tosses me down on the bed, my back bouncing off it before I land again. Dane's expression is determined and hungry. My nipples tighten and my thighs squeeze together. I've missed us too. I want him. And what's more, the ferocity in his gaze makes me even more daring. "Then take me. Take all of me." His nostrils flare as he steps forward, his knees bumping against the mattress. Without ever breaking eye contact, he snatches off one flip-flop and then the other, tossing them across the room. A hand closes around each of my ankles, and he spreads my legs open and drags me down the bed. Both palms slide up my smooth legs, under the thin dress I chose as a cover-up, until he reaches my bathing suit bottoms. His fingers curl into the material and yank it down my legs, leaving me bare to his gaze. I'm already wet and ready.
"I'm going to eat this pussy for dessert."
Dane swipes a thumb across my splayed opening, already slick for him.
"But first, I need to remind you exactly who it belongs to. Me."
With the last word he speaks, he thrusts a finger inside me, and my hips buck upward at the invasion. I missed this. Fucking in and out with his finger, his thumb pressing hard on my clit, Dane brings me to the edge faster than I could ever manage myself.
You want this. You want us. You want everything I'm going to give you.
Yes. My reply comes out more like a plea, and it is. I don't know how long it's been since I've had a decent orgasm. My own attempts in my empty hotel rooms at night were lackluster at best.
Tell me. Tell me this is forever, Kat. Always and fucking forever.
Yes, always and forever. Dane presses harder on my clit, and I scream as I arch off the bed and let the orgasm wash over me. He adds to the pressure, and the orgasm keeps coming and coming until I'm not sure I can bear any more. I reach down, gripping his hand with both of mine, and he finally pulls it away.
That's just number one.
Dane rips his t-shirt over his head and shoves his shorts down his legs. His cock, thick and hard, springs free.
Thank you, God. Keep your legs spread. I love seeing you open for me.
I nod, but it's not enough. A flash of something flits across Dane's expression.
We're on a deserted island and you're helpless, lying on this bed when I burst into the room. I'm here to take whatever I want, and what I want is you.
We've never done much in the way of role-play fantasy, but Dane's words make my nipples harden even more than I thought possible.
Strip. I want to see my prize.
His voice is deeper, and I let myself fall into the fantasy. Don't hurt me, please. I'll do whatever you want. I reach for the hem of my dress and drag it up over my head, leaving just my bikini top in place.
I want to see those sweet tits, those hard little nipples. I'm gonna lick the salt off your skin before I take what I want.
It's on the tip of my tongue to tell him he doesn't have to take a damn thing because I'll give it all willingly, but I go with the fantasy. Whatever you want, just don't hurt me. With one knee on the bed, Dane leans over me as I untie the bikini top from around my neck and let it fall.
All the way off.
I reach behind myself and unclasp the back strap before pulling it from my body.
My lucky day.
Dane's other knee lands on the bed between my legs, and his big hands close over my breasts, cupping and kneading them before catching my nipples between his thumbs and forefingers to squeeze and pinch. My hips lift as I writhe against him, seeking more, needing more. Dane's cock finds my center, and I rock against it until it notches into my opening.
Greedy little thing, aren't you? Hard up for it. How long has it been since you've been taken by a real man?
Too long, I whisper.
Not anymore. You're mine, and I'm keeping you.
He thrusts inside, burying his cock to the hilt.
Chapter 22. Dane. I don't know where the hell the role play came from, but I go with it. The sweet, tight slickness of Kat's pussy tells me she doesn't have a problem with it either, and I pull back and power inside. Over and over I thrust and retreat, taking my pleasure and giving it to her. It has been too fucking long. Somewhere along the way, I decided to follow her lead rather than laying down the law in the bedroom. No more. This is how we're going to be for the rest of our lives. She's my wife, and I love every fucking inch of her. Please, please. Kat doesn't have to finish her thought because I know what she wants. I adjust my hips to give her more pressure against her clit, rocking into her over and over. The orgasm is boiling up in my balls, but I'm not ready to be done yet. I pull out. I want you on your knees. I grab her by the hips and help her roll over, pulling her ass up so she's at the perfect level. With a groan at the sight of her sweet ass, I bury myself back inside, reaching around to strum her clit while I pound into her. Kat screams, and I guarantee anyone within 100 yards of this thatched roof hut can hear her coming as she squeezes my cock tight. It takes everything I have not to pound my chest like a primitive asshole at the thought. She's fucking mine. Only mine. I don't let up. I want one more orgasm from her. Give it to me again, I demand.
I can't,
she moans. You can. I go harder, more pressure on her clit, and the telltale flutter of her inner muscles tells me she's close again. I want you to scream for me. The sound that breaks free from my wife's throat is just as primal as the possessive feelings hurtling through my blood. My own roar joins it as I explode inside her. For long moments afterward, we still, our lungs heaving, until Kat's elbows collapse and she falls forward.
Holy shit.
She whispers the words and I feel them all the way to my balls.
I don't know what just happened, but I want to cast my vote for that happening again. A lot. And soon.
A laugh gathers force, coming straight from my gut, and drowns out the sound of our labored breaths.
Thank fuck. I second that.
I lower onto my forearms and press a kiss to her shoulder. I love you, Kat. Always and forever. She starts to roll over and I pull free from her body, albeit reluctantly, but it's worth it when I see her passion-glazed eyes.
I love you too. I'm never giving up on us.
Damn right you're not. I take her lips, tasting the salt and the sweet all at the same time, and then predictably when it comes to Kat, her stomach growls. I pull back. Let's get you showered and fed.
Do you think we can avoid the swingers?
With a shrug, I flop onto my back next to her on the bed. It's not like they're going to try anything. They offered, and we said no. End of story. Nothing to worry about. Kat bites her lip, her unease coming through loud and clear.
But isn't it going to be awkward? I mean, he offered you his girlfriend and you said no.
I don't know how to put this without sounding like an asshole, but I'm pretty frigging sure that Anya is not Vander's girlfriend. She's a toy. Kat's eyes go wide, reminding me how sheltered she really is.
What?
Vander's got money. Can't miss that. I'm pretty sure whatever their arrangement is, it's mutually beneficial.
So you think she's a gold digger?
I think she's whatever she needs to be in order to have someone provide the lifestyle she's become accustomed to, and Vander happens to be the guy for the job right now. Kat's features screw up in distaste.
I just don't get it. I'm sure she could be successful at something and not have to rely on a man to get what she needs.
Ah, there's my wife. Not everyone thinks like you, babe. You work your ass off, but for other people it might be easier to go another route. That's the way the world works. Kat's stomach growls again. How about I go get us dinner while you take a shower? She nods.
I'm not 100% sure I want to sober up, though. This is kind of fun.
I know what she means, and I agree. Sometimes letting go of inhibitions results in the best outcome. You want more lobster or something else? Kat shakes her head.
I think after all that rum, maybe not. Maybe chicken? You pick. I trust you.
Her words, "I trust you," hit me hard. I have to tell her everything. It's time. As soon as I get back.
Chapter 23. Kat. Dane shuts the door, and for the first time since he dropped the bomb on me yesterday, I feel like we're going to be okay. Despite burying myself in work rather than facing the grief I've kept bottled up, I haven't screwed this up beyond repair. I'm full of hope. And it's not from just the pleasant hum of alcohol in my veins. I figure I've got at least a half hour before he'll be back, so I lays in bed for a few more minutes, thankful that he managed to pull my head out of my ass before it was too late. I can only imagine what the alternative would have been. Me coming home from a work trip on a Thursday night to find Dane's stuff missing like my dad's was. My stomach twists, and not because of the rum. That could have been my reality, too. I would have slid to the floor, tears streaming down my face as I realized that I'd chased away the best thing that ever happened to me. But Dane didn't do that, and now it's time to woman up and get things back on track. I tug at the hair tie in my tangled blonde ponytail, trying to get it free. By the time I step into the bathroom, I've created an unholy mess on my head. Reaching into the shower, I flip on the hot water before hanging a towel on the hook just to the left of the door. After I strip off my clothes, I toss them onto the bamboo stool tucked next to the tub and step into the steam filling the glass enclosure. I let the water soak my hair before massaging in shampoo to remove the salt. The heat feels decadent against my skin as I lose myself in thoughts of how the rest of the night is going to go. Dane's going to come back with dinner, and by that time it'll already be pitch black outside. We'll eat on our bed, be lazy, and hopefully have round two of the hottest sex of my life. One round of shampoo barely touches the stickiness of the salt in my hair, and I'm lathering up again when I hear a noise. Dane can't be back already, can he? Babe, is that you? With shampoo suds running down my face, I turn into the water to rinse when there's no answer. Maybe it's the wind, or the waves, or a bird. It's a tropical freaking island, so there's guaranteed to be some sounds a girl from Texas isn't used to. My eyes pop open when I hear a thump, and I hiss at the sting when the suds hit them. Dane? Slicking the hair out of my face, I back up in the shower to get a better view of the bedroom. With another swipe to clear the bubbles from my skin, I crane my head to the side, blinking several times to flush the soap from my eyes. Nothing is out of place, except my towel is gone. My heart kicks up again. What the hell? My voice shakes as my gaze cuts to the floor. Jesus, I'm an idiot. My towel lies puddled on the tile. I'm hearing things, tripping myself out. There's no one here but me. With a deep breath, I reach for my small bottle of conditioner and load up my hair before reaching for my razor to shave all the important areas. I'm midway through the second leg when I hear a creak. It's just the bungalow. It's on stilts, in the water. It's going to make noises. I'm not usually this paranoid, but something has me on edge. Maybe it's the fact I escaped a freaking shark attack. Fair enough. I hurry through the rest of my shaving routine, eager to be out of the shower and get myself fixed up before Dane returns. Did I bring any sexy lingerie? The question enters my head as I rinse the conditioner from my hair and quickly wash my face. I'm about to give up and admit I didn't, but I remember the one sheer negligee I shoved in with my bras and underwear at the last minute. When? I rinse and shut the water off before opening the door and reaching to the floor to pick up my fallen towel. Except it's not there. Goosebumps that have nothing to do with being cold rise on my skin. The towel was just there. I heard it fall. I saw it on the floor. And now it's gone.
Looking for this?
Vander steps into view of the bathroom doorway, my towel dangling from his index finger.
Chapter 24. Dane. There's no such thing as fast food in Belize. I know this from the last time I was here, and it's a fact that hasn't changed, especially when you're on a small private island. With our orders handed off to the kitchen, I wait, a beer in hand. Andreas let me know that two more couples will be arriving tomorrow and the island will be at one-third of its capacity. Although I couldn't care less about having more people on the island, it will probably make Kat feel better if she's not constantly faced with the threat of running into only Anya and Vander at every turn. Looks like you and I are on the same mission. Retrieve food and bring it back to the room. Anya's voice cuts through the reggae music in the restaurant as though I summoned her with my thoughts. Pretty much. She leans an elbow on the bar as Andreas hurries over to her.
Hey, Andre, could I order some dinner to go?
She rattles off her order.
Of course, of course. Let me get this to the kitchen and I'll be back to get you a drink while you wait. Eduardo was on his break, so I'm a one-man show for now.
He disappears into the kitchen.
It seems crazy they don't do room service. I couldn't believe it when Vander told me that.
I assume they want to make sure we leave our rooms. I take a swig of my beer.
I hope he didn't make you uncomfortable with his offer. I think we both assumed, given your question, that you might be into it.
No harm, no foul. I was just guessing when I asked. Anya slides onto the stool next to me as Andreas returns. What can I get you to drink, miss?
I'll take a vodka tonic with lime, top shelf.
Happy to oblige. Andreas goes to work making her drink, and Anya points to the window.
Oh my God, do you see that? Is that fire?
The sun has almost completely set, and sure enough, I see orange flames. Andreas swings around to look.
Shit!
He drops the glass in his hand and rushes to the exit. I stand to follow, but she puts a hand on my arm.
Could it spread to here? Should we evacuate?
It's just a couple flames, so they'll probably get it put out. I head for the door, but Eduardo meets me at the threshold.
Please stay inside, sir. We've got it under control.
There's no chance to ask for an explanation before he hurries away.
Should we help? I feel terrible just standing here and watching.
The same instinct pushes me, but from our position inside we see four men bring buckets to douse the small fire with water. The larger of the flames are already gone. Apparently they really do have it under control. I grab my beer and down a large gulp.
Thank the Lord. That seems so crazy. Part of me agrees, and the other part of me realizes that fires happen all the time in places like these, so it's probably not that unusual. Two more rounds of buckets later, and the fire and any potential coals are completely out. Andreas and Eduardo both return to the restaurant, out of breath and looking quite relieved. What happened? Anya asks. Eduardo shakes his head.
Don't know. Maybe the electrical line sparked?
You sure you weren't smoking over there? Andreas asks. With a sharp look, Eduardo responds. No way. You know I quit, and I'd lose my job if I accidentally started a fire. Let's get you both some more drinks. Sorry about the commotion. Everything on this island is checked for safety on a regular basis, so it's rare that we have any kind of excitement of that nature. Andreas slides behind the bar, washes his hands, and finishes making the vodka tonic for Anya, and retrieves another beer for me. Anya holds her drink up to mine in a salute. Cheers to no more excitement of that nature. I clink the rim of her glass, offering a polite smile at her random toast. All I want is to get our food so I can get back to Kat. We both drink in silence for the next several minutes before Anya starts to make small talk. When Eduardo appears from the kitchen almost a half hour later with the food I ordered, I'm glad to escape her inane chatter. It's not until I'm walking out of the restaurant with the bag in hand that a heavy sluggishness seeps into my veins, and I miss a step on the walkway. Something's not right.
Chapter 25. Cat. My shriek cuts the air, and I cross my arms over my chest to shield my nakedness. What the hell are you doing? Get out!
But then I couldn't give you this.
Vander takes a step toward me with the towel. Leave it and get the hell out of here! He tisk-tisks as he shakes his head.
You should be a whole lot nicer to me, Katerina. I'm the one who decides how much of a living hell your life is going to be from now on.
His statement, which makes no sense, drips with malice. Look, we said no. End of story. I don't know what the swing code of ethics says, but I'm pretty sure when someone politely declines being involved in some kind of orgy, you just have to accept it and move on. Who knows, maybe the new couples will be more into your brand of kink. Vander laughs.
No one told me you were funny, too.
I'm not funny. Never have been. You can ask Dane. I edge further back in the bathroom, planning to slam the door and lock myself inside until Vander gives up and leaves. Dane is going to kill him. Vander doesn't miss my subtle step back.
You can stop right there, Katerina. Whatever you're planning is just going to piss me off, and things will go better for you if you cooperate. Don't make me hurt you.
That last bit is delivered in such a venomous way that there's no chance I'm going to comply. I fling myself toward the bathroom door and slam it shut before he reaches me, scrambling to flip the flimsy lock on the handle. Turning around, I keep my back to the door and scan the room for something to brace it shut. The first crash against the door comes within seconds, about the same time I realize there's nothing I can use to hold the door. My cover-up from earlier is on the bamboo stool, and I make a calculated decision. I'd prefer to have something on, rather than face Vander naked. Charging for it, I grab my cover-up and the stool itself, too. A second blow flexes the door against the tiny lock holding it shut. It won't stand up to a third. With one bamboo leg in each hand, I hold the stool like a baseball bat, ready to swing it at his head. All I have to do is hold him off until Dane gets back. The thought of my husband brings me strength. What would Dane do? He'd probably tell me to raise my elbow or something like that, so I have more velocity on the swing. But this is the best I can do. The next crash comes against the door, and I steady myself, ready to strike. The lock gives up the fight, and the wooden panel flies open, smashing against the wall as Vander's face comes into view. Instead of calm and nonchalant, it's now lined with exertion and anger.
You want to play games, Kat? Well, guess what? You won't like the games we're going to play next. I can promise you that.
He notices the stool above my head as he crosses the threshold.
What good do you think that's going to do you? If you hurt me, I promise it'll come back to you tenfold.
The malice in his tone is enough to give me second thoughts about my plan, but I refuse to go down without a fight. If you leave now, maybe my husband won't kill you. Vander laughs as he takes another step toward me.
Your husband will wish he was dead soon enough.
Get the hell out!
You're becoming repetitious, Katerina. I'm calling the shots here. You don't understand yet.
Another step.
But you will soon.
One more step, and he's finally within range. I swing the stool at his head with everything I've got. Vander throws up an arm and roars, ducking and charging at me. I make contact with something, and he grunts, but his lunge is far more powerful. My feet slide out from under me, and together we go flying toward the floor. Pain shoots from my tailbone, back, and elbows, and I suck in a breath. Vander recovers first, scrambling on top of me, pinning me to the tile.
You're going to pay for that, bitch.
Fear claws at my lungs as he rises above me, bringing the back of his hand down on my cheekbone. Hot, blinding pain rocks my face, and tears form instantly, trickling down.
Don't try me again.
The evil stamped in his every feature makes my skin crawl with terror. With a buck of my hips, I roll, desperate to get him off me, but Vander's weight is too much.
Feisty little bitch.
On my belly on the bathroom floor, I reach for anything I can get my hands on to use as a weapon. I snag the rug and whip it behind me. Vander releases a low grunt before burying his fingers in my hair and yanking my head back. His other forearm comes under my chin, and my air supply is moments from being cut off. I use my last full breath to scream.
Dane! Help!
Chapter 26. Dane. Something isn't right. I can hold my liquor. I only had two drinks. My steps are uneven and my limbs are taking on weight that isn't there. I shove my hand into the pocket of my shorts, searching for my phone, but I don't fucking have it. With each moment that passes, whatever I've been drugged with affects another part of my body. I've only got a few minutes at best before I lose consciousness. I have to get to the room. I have to get to Kat. Can't leave her unprotected. Who would go through this much trouble to take me out? The list of possibilities is longer than I want to admit. I take another step and my legs shake, threatening to collapse. I'm not going to make it to the room. Grabbing a palm tree, I steady myself and take a deep breath. I have to get to Kat. I force my brain to fight whatever I was dosed with. Another step, another stumble. Who the fuck did this? Anya or Andreas? They're the only ones who were near my drink. But why? Sandals slap along the wooden walkway behind me as my lips begin to tingle. He should have already gone down. What the hell is wrong with this stuff? Anya. Why? The question repeats in my head. I've never seen her or Vander before coming here, which doesn't mean shit, but neither worried me enough to take steps to deal with them. Losing your edge, Cross. And it put Kat in danger. A voice answers Anya. It's Eduardo, the one who was outside when the fire started. A distraction, my sluggish brain recognizes. You dosed him. Maybe you should have used more. I reach for the next palm tree and haul myself another step closer to the bungalow. I have to get to Kat. My thoughts are fuzzy now. The drug is overpowering me. That's when I hear her scream.
Dane! Help!
Launching myself off the tree, I charge toward her voice. My legs wobble like jello, but I will... Something connects with the base of my skull, and everything goes black.
Chapter 27. Cat. My throat burns as I blink against the darkness. Why can't I see? Am I blind? The tangy scent of salt invades my nostrils. The floor vibrates beneath me. I curl my fingers, but they're bound together, tape and rope. I blink again, and a dim light shines from above. Stars. I'm not blind. It's dark. The vibrations and the loud droning stop, so all I can hear are the breaking waves. I'm on a boat. Vander's voice cuts through the quiet.
What do you mean you're not ready? I'm heading toward the coordinates.
I can't hear the response, so he must be talking to someone on the phone.
You had to fucking leave Belizean waters. Are you shitting me? I've got the package. When the fuck are you going to be ready?
The cold spray of ocean water splatters me, and I still, not wanting to attract attention. My brain may not be firing on all cylinders, but I'm with it enough to know that information is my only weapon right now.
Fuck. What the hell am I supposed to do? I don't have 5 hours to float in the middle of the goddamned ocean, you fucking asshole. I'm not going back to Sweetwater.
Another pause, and then Vander slams his hand down on something.
God damn it. Don't you fucking tell me to figure it out. Get the boat back up here. Call me when you're in position.
What happened?
A second voice asks. This one I don't recognize, but it could be any of the employees from the island because it carries the same lyrical inflections.
Change of plans. We have to find somewhere to wait for a few hours. The Belizean Coast Guard was sniffing around, so they went south into Honduran waters.
The Coast Guard? Not surprising, man. They sniff around a lot of these yachts, making sure they're not running drugs and sending smaller boats in to deliver.
Thank you for the Belizean maritime lesson, but what I really need from you is somewhere to fucking stop.
Hold on, hold on. Let me think. I might have a place. My cousin is the caretaker at Genie Key. Shouldn't be anyone there. New researchers come every other week, but this is an off week. I'm supposed to meet him there tomorrow to fish.
Where the hell is it? Vander demands.
Head back to Sweetwater and bear north like you're heading to Dangriga. You can't miss it if you look for the red and green lights.
Back to Sweetwater. Back to Dane. I need a plan. My brain starts spinning.
Fuck. This throws off our whole schedule. I have to tell Anya.
I knew I didn't trust that bitch for a reason.
Let me call my cousin first and check. We gotta make sure he doesn't try to shoot us when we pull up. They get too many thieves out this way for us to just tie up to someone's dock in the middle of the night.
Make the call. Now.
Waves lap against the hull as whoever else is on board makes a phone call and speaks in a language I don't understand. I keep my eyes shut, playing possum because the last thing I want is Vander's attention on me. The less he thinks about me, the better. But when we get near Sweetwater, I have to get back to the island, back to Dane. The only plan I come up with is flawed on every level. Throwing myself while bound out of a moving boat into the pitch-black ocean is absolutely idiotic. But what other choice do I have? Work on the ropes. When the man ends his call, he says to Vander,
"We're all set. He'll be waiting for us. Island is empty right now." "Good. Let's move. Show me where to turn."
The engine comes to life again, and I open my eyes to stare up into the sky. The Big Dipper is bright against the blackness, and I use it to find the North Star. If only I could find my way back to Dane so easily.
Chapter 28 Dane. My head pounds and my limbs are heavy. It takes all the energy I have to open my eyes. The first thoughts that rip through my brain are about Kat. Where is she? Is she safe? How long have I been out? Anya's pissed-off voice slices through the haze in my head. I thought we had a plan. What the hell happened? I did my part, we're here, and he's ready to move. Since I don't hear an answer, I assume it comes from the other end of her phone. Of course I cleaned out their rooms. We popped the safe and got the phones, IDs, and passports. No sign they were ever there. Oh, you know, except the fucking broken door handle in the bathroom. One of the guys is fixing it, but it cost me an extra $1,000. Broken door handle? What the fuck? If anyone touched a goddamned hair on Kat's head, I will fucking kill them. Yeah, I can hear your gratitude loud and clear. The boat is here, and they're going to load him up. He'll be delivered on time, and I'll meet up with you. They separated us? Fuck. I shift and test the ropes knotted around my wrists. My first instinct is to rip that phone out of Anya's hands and call in the cavalry to rain down hellfire on these assholes. I try to kick out and sweep Anya's feet, but my legs are still numb. Unaware of my consciousness, she keeps pacing and talking. Where the hell are you going with the girl? I want to get off the island and back to Monte Carlo before I get another fucking bug bite. That bitch deserves every single thing coming to her, and it will not be pretty. No one touches my wife without consequences. Hours? What the hell am I supposed to do while you're on some genie-in-a-bottle island waiting for the boat for hours? Genie-in-a-bottle island? What the hell is she talking about? I rack my brain for any mention of a genie in a bottle, and I've got nothing. My synapses are firing slowly, but it has to mean something. Don't you dare tell me to settle down. What if someone gets wind of this? Play idiot blonde. Great. Nice suggestion. How far away is that place, V?
When she says V, it confirms my suspicions that she must be talking to Vander. You're going right by here? I'll be ready as soon as he's gone and you can pick me up. Her growl of frustration tells me Vander was less than amenable to her suggestion. Fine, I'll wait, but you better tell those Plan B assholes they need to come up with a damned Plan C. The money for her better be worth it, that's all I'm saying. I want my damned bonus. I'll be waiting in the room after we get him loaded up. No, of course they won't miss the transfer. He knows he won't get paid if there's no delivery. Call me when the tender is on the way. The money they get for her better be worth it? Over my dead body. Cold fury, the kind that you unleash only when you need to feed the killing machine, floods my system. My entire body vibrates with unharnessed rage. Nobody touches my fucking wife. Anya curses, and I assume she's ended her call. I could snap her neck right now, but it wouldn't get me the answers I need. I have to shut it down before I'm surrounded by sand soaked with her blood and no way to get to Kat. Be smart, Dane. Think. Plan. This is what you do. But I haven't been in the field in a year. I've sat behind a desk or at a conference room table, punishing myself for my mistake, watching over my former team as they walk into situations that would make any normal person shit himself at the first sign of trouble. All because I'm not worthy of having their backs anymore. I replay Anya's half of the conversation, committing the things to memory that seem significant. Genie in a bottle island, Plan B needing a Plan C. My synapses fire faster as the adrenaline dump helps my brain shake off whatever they drugged me with. Fuck these sons of bitches. They don't have a clue who they're dealing with. Not one fucking clue. Anya speaks again to someone else on the beach. Did you get all that? Plans are off schedule, but we still need to load him. My ride is delayed, but that doesn't impact his transport. When's the boat coming? I can't get a look at the man's face without turning over, and I don't want to give away my only other advantage at the moment, the fact that they don't know I'm awake. Yeah, got it. He said he'd be here soon, so any time. Now we wait. I'm not the kind of woman who waits. Where the hell is he? The sound of an approaching engine answers her question. Finally. How long is it going to take him to get to the port? A few hours, ma'am. The port has to be Belize City. The motor quiets as it comes closer, and I finally open my eyes, a sliver to see. It's still dark, but the vessel is docking. Again, I wonder how long I was out. Hopefully because it took longer for me to go down, and I'm already coming back to normal. That means I didn't lose too much time. Get him loaded up. These fucking bugs are eating me alive. I really wish I'd known what a toxic human being Anya was before I saved her ass from drowning. Maybe that was karma trying to step in early, but I had to be the good guy. Not again. The motor shuts off and I have to make a choice. My hands are tied in front of me and I work through my options. Normally I wouldn't hesitate to take on two men and a woman, but I've still got nothing but tingling in my legs. My other choice is letting them haul me onto the boat as dead weight and waiting until my body cooperates so I can take them out once we're on the water. I decide to bide my time. Hey, man! The guy on the beach calls out. Another male voice returns a volley of what I know is Creole, a language spoken by some Belizeans. I can't understand a fucking word they say. When the man on the beach responds in kind, Anya snaps, You know I can't understand that, so knock it off. Speak fucking English, or Spanish, or French, but not whatever the hell that is. Sorry, ma'am. Just get him in the boat. I'm sick of waiting out here. Ricardo, come get his feet. A few moments later, hands wrap around my shoulders and ankles, and I'm lifted off the ground. My body swings a few moments later, and I'm tossed in the air before crashing into the bottom of a boat. My shoulder connects hard, sending a jolt of pain through me. Careful, I get more for him alive than dead. Who the hell is she delivering me to that'll pay more for me alive than dead? Yes, ma'am. You know where you're going? She asks, and I'm assuming the question is directed at the captain. Yes, got my instructions. If you don't call me to confirm delivery on time, I promise we will hunt you down and you won't live to see the sunset. Do you understand? Yes, ma'am. Radio if you have any problems. This comes from the man. Got it. Then what are you waiting for? Go! Anya orders. Her voice grates on me, and I promise myself she'll get hers. Ricardo grunts and fires up the engine. A wet rope lands on my face as he shifts into gear. I wait a minute or two after we pull away from the dock to open my eyes. It's still pitch black, and I can't see a fucking thing. I reach out, feeling around with my hands, searching for any kind of weapon. I latch onto something wooden. A mop handle, maybe? A spear? I work it down between my bound hands so I can feel the other end. I'm hoping it's something I can use to cut the rope. When I get to the end, I realize it's not a spear, but a thick, barbed hook. A gaff? Whatever it is, I'm going to use it. It takes about 10 minutes of painstaking sawing to cut one rope and loosen the bonds. I've also got feeling back in my legs. I have no fucking clue why they didn't tie them, but their lack of attention to detail is going to save my ass and Cat's. Now that I've got a weapon in my hands and only one man to take down, I let all the thoughts of Cat and how fucking terrified she must be rush through my brain. Now it's time for the rage. I need the fury. Adrenaline.